Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 in the New Testament. After the Gospels, you have Acts and Romans, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. So 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then the letter to the Galatians. And chapter 1, verse 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. The words of the Apostle Paul. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Our subject this morning is beware another gospel. Beware another gospel. Now, as I've already mentioned, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And this is a letter to the Galatians, meaning it was a letter to the church in a place called Galatia. And Galatia, well, that's modern-day Turkey. But there was a church established there, and we believe this letter is written around AD 51 to 53. But the Apostle Paul, well, in this first chapter, he is talking about two things specifically. The Apostle talks about his conversion, the conversion of the Apostle Paul, how he became a Christian. Every Christian has a conversion experience, but as many of you know, the conversion of the Apostle Paul was very dramatic. He was, as we read in verse 13 of this chapter, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." The Apostle Paul, he was once an enemy of the Christian church. He was somebody who persecuted and hated the Christian church. But then what happened? Well, we know that on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, appeared to him. And he was stopped in his tracks. He was changed. He was born again. He was converted. And then he did that which he was commanded to do. He preached the gospel. And the gospel message is the other thing that the Apostle Paul emphasizes in this first chapter. The gospel message. Well, it is through the gospel message that we are saved. We are saved through the gospel message. Now, it's God who saves us, of course. There is no preacher, there is no man who saves us. When we are saved, it is a work of God. It doesn't please the preacher, or, well, it's not at the pleasure of the preacher to save. It's at the pleasure of God. It's when God pleases that we are saved. And this is one of the points that the Apostle Paul makes. But it is through the preaching of the gospel message. These are the means that the Lord has appointed. The gospel will be preached and people will be saved. And so this is why we, every week, every Lord's Day morning, every Sunday morning, we preach the gospel. Because this is the way that the Lord will save people. But even in the time of the Apostle Paul, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning, even in the time of the Apostle Paul, the gospel that is able to save, the gospel was under attack. The gospel was being changed. It was being perverted. That's the word that he uses in this chapter. Some people, some false preachers were getting into the church and they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were changing it. They were altering it. And saved believers in the church, they were being taken in by another gospel, by false preachers. And the Apostle Paul, well, he's amazed by this. In verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The Apostle Paul can barely understand this or believe this. These are people who have been saved by the true gospel. They've been saved by the true gospel, and yet some false preachers have come in preaching another gospel, and they've all been taken in by it. He can't believe it. I marvel that you are so soon after you are saved, you're being changed into another gospel. Another gospel is being preached, and you're being deceived by it. And this is the context. The Apostle Paul, he knew that he had to protect the gospel, because right from the very start, only a few years after the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, right from the very start of the Christian age, the gospel was under attack. And the Apostle Paul knew that he had to protect it and prevent another gospel or other versions of the gospel coming into the church. And this is something that we have to do in this day and age, of course. We have to make sure that there are no other versions of the gospel entering into the church. And sadly, when you look around the churches and look at the state of Christianity nowadays, it is a sad state, and it is a sad thing to observe that there are different gospels being preached nowadays. There are different versions of the gospel. And I'm talking about things within the church. I'm not going to be talking very much about other religions, but I'm talking about things in the church, errors within the church, other gospels that have come in that are not the true gospel. And we have to talk about these things from time to time, because we need to make sure that we're not being deceived by other teaching and other gospels that have come in. Well, what other gospels are being preached nowadays? Well, you could point to so many nowadays. There is one that is very popular, which is called a prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is being preached nowadays. What's the prosperity gospel? Well, the prosperity gospel, the message is, if you come to God, he will make you rich. You come, you attend a church, God will make you rich, because you see, God wants you to be rich. He doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to earn a lot of money. He wants you to have a nice career. He wants you to have a nice home, a nice big house. He wants you to have lots of money in the bank. It's like becoming a Christian is like a spiritual get-rich-quick scheme. You become a Christian, you'll be rich, because that's God's design for your life. That is what is being preached in the churches nowadays. But dear friends, that's another gospel. That's not the true gospel. That's another gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. The gospel message is not about being rich on this earth. It's not about the riches of this world. It's about spiritual riches. It's about eternal riches. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in Matthew chapter 6, we read it together. Remember what the Lord himself said: lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven, not treasures upon earth, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. This is talking about riches, spiritual riches, riches that no man can take from you. You have a lot of money, people can take that. You have a nice house, people can take that. You have a nice career, people can take that. But the riches that the gospel give you, no man can take from you. Eternal spiritual riches. That's the gospel message. The prosperity gospel, it's another gospel. And it's creeping into the churches. So we don't preach the prosperity gospel in this place. Another gospel we could mention: the social gospel. What's the social gospel? Well, some people believe that the gospel, the Christian gospel, is all about making the world a better place. That's what the Christian message is. You make the world a better place. The role of Christians, well, it's just about helping people, about feeding the hungry, about housing the homeless. It's all really, it's charity work. It's social work. Well, that's all very good. And yes, we have to be charitable, and we do help those in need. That's one of the duties of Christian people, to help others, of course. We acknowledge that and we understand that. But that's not the essential message of the Bible. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is about preparing people to meet God. It's about meeting God. It's about their souls. Are your souls right with God? You know, you can feed people very well. You can house people. You can clothe people very well. But if their souls are not right with the Lord, well, then you've missed the whole point. You've missed out on their greatest need. Their greatest need is that their souls are right with God. Because the scriptures say that we have to meet God at the very end of our lives. And if all you've ever done is just feed people and clothe people, you've never told them about their souls, you've never told them to repent and to have faith, well, you've missed the entire point. The gospel message, are you right with God? Do you have faith? Not food. Do you have faith? Have you repented of your sin? Are you right with God? Do you know that when you meet God, you will be accepted by Him? You'll be loved by Him. This is the gospel message. And how soon, how easily we are distracted into another gospel. It's all about being right with God. Well, how do we get right with God? That's such an important consideration. And again, it's something that was being confused even in the time of the Apostle Paul. How do we get right with God? Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through faith in Him. But this is the important point. It's through faith in Him alone. Faith in Christ alone. That is why you cannot mix religions. You cannot have the Lord Jesus Christ and something else. You cannot be a Christian and a Hindu. You cannot be a Christian and a Muslim. You cannot be a Christian and a Sikh. You cannot add Jesus to a personal list of gods. It's Christ and Christ alone. Only Him. Faith in Him alone. Because, of course, well, the scriptures say this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If there was any other way, the Lord Jesus Christ would have said it. But He said, I am the way. And in the Greek, that's very strong. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God. So it's Christ alone. You don't add anything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, of course, well, they add something else. Maybe not another religion. But some people, they add their own works, their own goodness. You speak to some people and, they say, yes, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm also a good person. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person as well. And that's how I get to heaven. Yes, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've also added to that my own goodness, my own righteousness. So it's sort of like 50-50. The Lord Jesus Christ, He gets me halfway there, but then the rest of it is up to me. Is that what you believe in? Dear friends, that's not the true gospel. That's another gospel. 50-50? You'll never get to heaven if you're doing a 50-50 scheme. I hope there's nobody here who believes that. Why can't you do 50-50? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ doing some of it and then me doing the rest of it? What's wrong with that? Well, let's say it is 50-50. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ does His bit, of course. But how do you know that you can do your 50%? How do you know? that you can make it, the 50%. Yes, you have your good days when you're very good and you're very nice and you're very kind, but you've had your bad days. You've had your days when you've been unkind and selfish and manipulative. You've had your days when you've rejected God and you've said, oh, well, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do today. You've sinned against God. And when we sin against God, it ruins all our good works. That's what the Bible says. Our good works are worth absolutely nothing because God's standard is perfection. If we must meet God's standard, we have to be perfect. And none of us are perfect. We all fall short. We can't make the 50%. Dear friends, you can't even make 1% because we are sinners. So do you see why it has to be Christ alone? Not Christ and me. It's Christ alone. Faith in him. That's the only way you can be sure. It's the only way you can have true peace. If you're depending upon yourself, you'll never have peace because you'll never be perfect. But Christ is. He is perfect. And he is the one whom we must trust in. But time is moving on. I just want to explain to you, because the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, how the Lord Jesus Christ saves us. He explains this very clearly to us. And this is something, again, that is being forgotten very much. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul explains, well, he came down from heaven. We know that he is the second person of the triune Godhead. He's the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father. And he came down from heaven to earth. Why did he do it? Some people say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he dwelt amongst men just to be an example. Just to be a good moral example so that we can all follow his example. And that's all he came to do. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, all the things he did. We study all the things that he said and we just live our life according to that. That's the only reason he came. Dear friends, that's another gospel. Yes, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is a great role model, but if that's all you think he is, you've missed the point. That's another gospel. Look at verses 3 and 4 in this letter. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. This is why he came into the world, not simply to be an example, but to give himself for our sins. We have committed sins. We have broken the law of God. We deserve to be punished by God for our sins. But Christ, he gave himself. He died on the cross of Calvary. He took our punishment. Instead of us taking it, he stood condemned in our place. He gave himself. I will suffer and die for them, so that they may be forgiven, so that they may be spared, so that they may have everlasting life. This, dear friends, is the gospel here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered and died for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, this is the gospel. This is the true gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself for our sin so that he may be glorified. That's the other reason why it's not 50-50. If we had any role to play in our salvation, well, wouldn't we glorify ourselves? Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did 60%, but I did the other 40%. There would be reason to glorify ourselves when we get to heaven. It's partly down to me. But dear friends, a true Christian knows and understands it's got nothing to do with him. Glory is to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. To him be glory. It's because of him I'm saved. It's because of him I'm forgiven. It's because of him I have eternal life. To whom be glory forever and ever. Not me. I will praise the Lord forevermore. This is why it's faith in Christ alone. And that is the true gospel. And he will be glorified forever and ever. That will be our everlasting song. Well, this is the gospel, dear friends. I won't speak for much longer this morning. But let's just, before we close, look at those verses from verse 8 to 9. Because these are so very solemn. And really, we have to look at these words as a warning. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, these words, they are so important. If I were, for example, if I were one day to get up here to the pulpit and to suddenly change my message, if one day I was to come up here and told you, well, you're not all sinners, you're all good people, and God wants to make you very rich, and you're all going to go to heaven. If I was to get up here to this pulpit and change this gospel, well, you ought to get rid of me. You ought to not hear me at all. You ought to throw me out of the church. Because this is the warning of the Apostle Paul. Even if an angel from heaven came into this place and preached to you a different gospel, that we're all going to be all right, we don't need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, the Apostle Paul says. Let him be accursed. They are guilty of a crime that merits the severest condemnation. And so this is what we need to be aware of. Dear friends, do you believe in the true gospel? All the things I've just mentioned are false gospels. The prosperity gospel, the social gospel, Christ coming as an example. These are all false things. Do you believe in the true gospel? Because it's only the true gospel that will lead you to eternal life. This is why it's so bad to preach the wrong gospel, because the wrong gospel will lead you to the wrong place, but the true gospel will lead you to eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in that true gospel? You believe that Christ suffered and died on the cross for your sin, to take the punishment for your sin that you have committed in your life? And because of him, you are eternally saved. This is the only gospel that will get you to heaven. All others will leave you in a place where you will be eternally accursed. Dear friends, trust in that gospel with all your heart and beware all other versions. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that there is only one true gospel, and it is such a glorious gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth to give himself for our sin so that we can be spared, so that we do not have to face the wrath of God because Christ stood condemned in our place. Oh, dear Lord, may we not be so easily moved from that gospel. May we not believe those things that will lead us to a place of eternal loss, but may we believe and trust in those things that lead us to eternal life. Oh, Lord, we ask that thou wouldest grant us each one that faith. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.